are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by CouchGuysSports.com. Here are your hosts, Al.
You didn't ask him about that long?
I was chatting there, Beetle.
What the fuck kind of host are you? I mean, you're burying the lead.
Shit, dude. Someone be for a trip, please.
Powder.
Yes, sir.
And Maddie D.
And on top of that, now you have a triple effect. You have the Niners looking for a long-term answer with Jimmy G in-house. Maybe they don't want to spend the money on Jimmy G. Maybe he gets freed up because they go after a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who now theoretically could be freed up. So there's a lot of dominoes to fall.
Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 143. I had trouble doing the fingers there. I don't know what's going on. 143, I think. Presented by CouchGuysSports.com. As always, check out everything. CouchGuysSports.com. Check out the daily blogs. Check out the podcast. Check out the YouTube channel. Check out the Twitch channel. Check out everything that we have to offer on the site. As always, rate and subscribe to the Legends Lingo Podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Anchor. Now on Anchor, so please make sure you subscribe everywhere. Al Nahegan here. The trio is back together. We got Powder. We got Maddie D. Boys, it was lonely last week. Don't ever leave me alone like that again.
Yeah, some stuff came up last minute. I hated canceling. But Al, you were the man. You're a professional. And you handled it. You did a freaking phenomenal job, man. So kudos to you. You always know how to step up.
I appreciate that. Powder, do you want to say any words like you did?
No, I have to second what Maddie said. It's just always great to have such a great host that can pick up the slack when Maddie and I can't make it.
No, it was fun last week. I had Matt Burnett, Josie Averett on. Josie Averett, that Cowboys fan, which we're going to talk about that game. I like Josie a lot. I do. She's been great for Couch Guys. She does great stuff. Check out her work. Check out everyone's work on the website and everything else. Powder's going to start putting out blogs again. Yeah. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe. At some point soon.
At some point soon. Okay. Yeah. ID drops fantasy football, fantasy baseball blogs, and he's also on High Heat Fantasy Baseball Podcast and Q Woman Jones. So please make sure to go check out his stuff as well. Site-wide sponsor, though, and Maddie D and I were talking about it. Powder got into the mix, too. Yeah. Maddie D has a nice little sweatshirt back there. It's from a little company called Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy, a site-wide sponsor, a Couch Guys Sports site-wide sponsor. Maddie D, you want to tell us a little bit more about our friends over at Shocked Energy?
Of course. Well, Legends Lingo Podcast, we're brought to you by Couch Guys Sports. You already know that. But we are also sponsored by our friends over at Shocked Energy. Shocked Energy is a drink made by gamers for gamers. All of their flavors come packed with 180 milligrams of caffeine to ensure that no matter what you're doing, your focus will always be razor sharp and keep you performing at the top of your game. Their formulas are designed to specifically give you the high energy boost when you need it, but also ensuring that you avoid the jitters that come, you know, when you have a little bit too much caffeine consumption. So go ahead and head over to shockedenergy.com and use the promo code, listen up, listen very carefully, the promo code CGSN to get 10% off your order. Check out their green apple flavored box, or you can check out their watermelon flavored box. Matter of fact, I got the green apple right here.
I got the watermelon.
My man Al's got the watermelon. So we got both covered. Both are delicious, and we can vouch for that. Oh, and don't worry, they ship worldwide. So no matter where you are on planet Earth, we can go ahead and get you that Shocked Energy boost that you need. So get your Shocked Energy today, and let us help you gain your focus and get your energy back, baby.
So our Antarctic listeners can get some?
Oh, anyone can get some worldwide.
Love it.
All over the world. But shout out again to our friends at Shocked Energy across the Couch Guys Sports Network. It's a Couch Guys Sports sponsor, and we are so happy to be partnered with these guys. These guys are awesome. They love to retweet and like our stuff. They love being a part of it with us. They're part of the conversation. They're basically family now. So Shocked Energy, you're part of the CGS family. So welcome into the craziness. Yeah, show
that. I'm just going to do the whole episode like this, guys. How's this?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, people might want to see your face, but I mean, they might like seeing the logo too. And you got the sweatshirt in the background. So, but we can talk about Shocked Energy all day, but we're here to talk about our Boston sports teams, good or bad. The Patriots. Let's just start with the Patriots, because this is going to be quick. This is going to be a Red Sox heavy episode. New England Patriots. I got to think about this before I say it. So I'm going to give the score. I have some thoughts. I don't want to put a damper on the mood just yet, because I'm going to be very pessimistic this episode. I'm just making that clear. Viewer discretion advised. A lot of negativity. The New England Patriots, week six, play a great game against the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if you guys caught any of the game, but it was one of the best games that I've watched in quite some time. It was back and forth. You know, just like the last 2 minutes, you had the Patriots were up one. Mac Jones throws a pick six to Trayvon Diggs. Takes it back. Cowboys fail to convert the two-point conversion. 26-21. Next drive, Mac comes back, hits Kendrick Bourne for a 75-yard touchdown pass. Convert the two-point conversion. And the Patriots go up 29-26. Dallas gets the ball back. And this is where I got really PO'd. This is where I got really aggravated. Patriots had a 4th-and-4. People forget this. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but they had a 4th-and-4. They were one play away from getting a first down and winning that game. They give up a first down on a great, great throw by Prescott, by the way. Then they had a 3rd-and-25. Think about this. They had 3rd-and-25. Dallas had just committed a penalty. Dallas is one of the most undisciplined teams in the NFL. And then they complete a 24-yard pass and it's 4th-and-1. They let CeeDee Lamb get open for 24 yards. They boot a field goal. Tie the game. Patriots get the ball in overtime. Don't do anything with it. Cowboys take the ball. Walk off touchdown. Patriots lose again. So I'm just going to say this, and then I want to hear your guys' thoughts on the game in this season, because I've been waiting for this recording because I've had so much to say about the Patriots and the Red Sox. But Patriots first. This football team is not a good football team right now against good quality opponents. They can't close out games yet. They can't do it. You couldn't close out the Miami game. You couldn't close out the Tampa Bay game. And you couldn't close out the Dallas game. You got lucky to close out the Houston game. I think that's a sign that this year it might be, you know, growing pains, and it might be something where, you know, it needs to come together. Mac Jones is not the problem. He's been playing really, really well. It's the defense. It's the offensive line. And I'm just sick of seeing this and just sick of seeing the Patriots not being able to close out these games. Granted, they had Tom Brady before, but I digress. All right, enough of hearing me talk. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on the game and everything that's going on. I'm going to start with Maddie, then we'll go to Powder, then we'll get it rocking and rolling. Go.
So a few weeks ago, if you guys remember, it was after the New Orleans Saints game, I sent a text message to you guys. Do you guys remember that? It was in the Legends Lingo group chat. And it said that I asked you guys the question, is this team a mediocre roster with a rookie quarterback? And we were like, yeah, maybe it is. And then after that, you know, we've seen them play well against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and lose. We saw them play well against the New Dallas Cowboys and lose. I think that's just what it is. You know, am I discouraged? No, they're rebuilding, and rebuilding takes time. They tried to do it on the fly with a whole bunch of free agents, and that's seeming to be ineffective in terms of their overall scope, because here we are, they're not looking like they're going anywhere fast for this year. Now, is it great to see Mac Jones play well? Of course, he's been one of the best rookie quarterbacks so far in this class, which is great to see. But you know, they're just not there. They don't have that oomph, and they don't have the greatest of all time to patch the holes that they used to have.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with that. Just seeing how they play well, but like Al said, they just do not finish games. They don't have it yet to figure it out. We were lucky for 20 years to have Tom Brady there in late games. You know he was going to convert, and he was smart with the clock and taking time off and just doing all the right things. And now the Patriots have to relearn how to do all that with a different quarterback. And Patriots fans, we were lucky that – right away when Brady was put in, he had a very good roster around him and led him to Super Bowl. We didn't have that, like when Bledsoe got hurt, that 2-3 years to grow with Tom Brady. Right away we won. So this is, I think, the phase that most sports fans go through when they have a rebuilding, is it takes a couple of years for the team to click together and get rolling. So I definitely think maybe taking it this year, like Al said, growing pains. And I think maybe going forward, maybe figure out what the weaknesses are in the roster. And those games where we can't close them out, that's how you're going to find a winner.
And a lot of good points by both of you guys. And this is what I want to say. Like, you think about the teams the Patriots have played so far this year. The Miami Dolphins, they're 1-5. That loss keeps looking worse and worse week in, week out. It is what it is. The second game is the Jets. They won that game. Third game was against the Saints. I was at that game. That's the only game that I think they legitimately just got outplayed the whole game and could not have won. That was their worst game of the year by far. Tampa Bay, you know, it comes down to, and this is something that I want to talk about next, a topic of conversation that I want to get into. Bill Belichick doesn't trust Mac Jones on a 4th-and-3. Mm-hmm. So he tries for the field goal. I understand it. I still don't agree with the call, even a few weeks later. But you try it, you miss a field goal, you lose that game. Then you go to Houston, you sneak out a win, which you were down 22-9 in that game. So that should tell you something.
Yeah.
And then Dallas, you finally put the offense together. You scored 29 points. Most of the time, that Patriots defense, you should win that game.
Yep.
And you don't. So this is going to lead into another topic of conversation. And you guys might not like it. And the fans listening and watching, you might not like it. But the question has to be asked. Is Bill Belichick losing it a little bit in his coaching? Because you think about it, and the only reason I'm going to say is this, because then I want to hear your guys' thoughts. Especially in the Dallas game, you had on 4 possessions, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3, 4th-and-4, respectively. Mm-hmm. And you punted every single time. I get the field possession game. I understand that. I get that. But sometimes you got to be aggressive. Mike McCarthy was aggressive. Mike McCarthy is the biggest bonehead in the NFL for a head coach. He is literally a bonehead. Everybody knows it. But he still went for it. He was smart enough to know, okay, if it's 4th-and-1, I'm going for it. I may not get it like they did in the first possession of the game, but he still went for it. So I don't know, man. Like, is Bill starting to lose it a little bit with his aggressiveness? I want to hear from you guys.
Potter, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, so this is a topic that's been going around my office for the past couple of weeks because obviously the Patriots have not been playing great. We all kind of agree it might be time for a change with the Patriots. I think Belichick was great, and I think he's one of the best coaches ever, but we're seeing a little – he's, what, 7-9 last year, and now we're 2-4, so 9-13 without Brady. You're seeing that Brady did a lot for the Patriots, and maybe Belichick was not everything we thought he was. Like, I think he's still a great coach, one of the best ever, but I think Brady helped that team a lot, and I think maybe getting a new face. And I think going forward, the Belichick way, the Patriots way is not going to be the same as it was with Brady there. Cause I think Brady, like we've said already tonight, Brady fixed a lot of holes.
Yeah. I'm not going to give you much pushback there, Potter. Cause I don't necessarily disagree. I know it is Belichick still a super high football IQ mind. Of course, he's not going to lose any of that. But there are two things I think that are kind of, I don't know if they're hindering him or they're holding him back, but one is his stubbornness. You know, everyone's always talking about how stubborn he is and all that. And it's just maybe a little unwillingness to kind of adapt. And the other is just the drive. I mean, Tom Brady is a one of one in the history of sports. Yeah. To be that old, to be that accomplished and still just keep driving forward. It's just only natural for a guy of his age and his accomplishments to take the foot off the gas a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
and definitely. I just think that, you know, between those two things and a full rebuild, I mean, that's a daunting task to ask of a guy who's been around that long and he's that old to, you know, get younger and get more, you know, faster, skilled and all that stuff. It's just tough for him. And I think, is it passing him by? I don't think football will ever pass him by, but being a head coach of a football team might start. I think that is starting to lose its luster that he probably had, you know, his whole career.
Yeah.
So again, you know, you guys are hitting the nail on the head. Like, listen, I love Bill Belichick as much as the next person, much as the next Patriots fan. Yeah. He gave you 6 Super Bowl titles. He brought you to 9 Super Bowls. I'm not going to deny that. That's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? People like players still come to the Patriots to be coached by Belichick, which is cool. But at the same time, it's like, okay, when is it appropriate to be like, okay, maybe he is on the hot seat? You know, because you think about it, the Patriots spent over $100 million in free agency. They went out and got Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and Matthew Judon and a lot of these other players. And they've went out and drafted guys like Josh Uche. Who's the other guy? They had a first, Kyle Duggar. He wasn't a first rounder, but Kyle Duggar, Chase Winovich, who's now on the IR. But they've tried to do what they've needed to do. Michael Onwenu is one of the best offensive linemen in his second year in the league.
Yeah.
Like there's talent there, but at this point, there are two people you have to blame here. You have to blame Bill Belichick. And you know what? I think the guy that needs more blame than Bill Belichick is Josh McDaniels. Like Josh McDaniels, you have a quarterback here that's understanding the system. You have a guy that knows what he's doing. You have a guy that's playing better every single week. So why is it when it's fourth and two or third and three or third and, you know, medium yardage, you're going so conservative? You need to open up the playbook more. Mac's throwing a lot, but he's throwing 5 to 7 yard passes. Look what happens when you expand it out. You had a chance to win the Dallas game because you let him throw it deep a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe this is all part of the process and they're just getting it going, but it is unfortunate that two of their bigger marquee matchups were early on the year in the Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys, because in both of those games, they coached scared. And I don't care what anyone says, that kicking a field goal was the scared play and taking a knee after you called the timeout to get the ball back at the end of the first half is scared football.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to put
smart football, but
I'm going to push back on you on that, Matty, for a second, because I was going to ask you guys that next. The end of the first half against Dallas, 14 to 10, one timeout, like a minute left. I was personally okay with that. And the reason being was because, you know, if you had two timeouts or if you had three timeouts or even two timeouts, I'd be like, okay, take a shot, try to get a field goal here. They had one timeout. They weren't going to move the ball quickly. So I was okay with them not doing it, but I can understand, based on the past with Belichick's mentality, why you would think like that.
See, this is, I agree with what you're saying, but it was the context that led up to it. It was calling the timeout to get the ball back with a minute left. It was not kneeling it on the first play. It was a who cares run play to the left that went nowhere. Then they decided to kneel on it. So it was almost like, let's try it. No, let's not really try it. Okay, I'm scared. Let's kneel it. It was just, don't waste your timeout getting the ball to get the ball back with a minute left if you're going to run one measly run play to the right, I mean to the left, and then kneel the ball.
See, we don't even know what direction they're going anymore. That's how frustrating we are. We don't know what direction this team's going.
I mean, Damian Harris had a great game. He was over 100 yards. It was like, okay, I understand if you want to just take it to the half. That's what, you know, coaches do that all the time. They were getting the ball back, I believe, at half, right? Yep. So it didn't make sense for them to put all of their, you know, gear is going forward. But it was like, all right, let's call a timeout to get the ball back. All right, let's actually run a play. Like if Damian Harris broke a 50-yard run, do you think they take a knee on the next play? No. So it's like, I just feel like it's one of those things where it's like it felt like he was unsure in his decisions, and that's just not typical Belichick.
Yeah.
It's not. And it's a situation where if you're going to be successful at any point in this season, you need Belichick and McDaniels to be more aggressive. Like, this is going to lead right into our next discussion. But before we get into our next discussion, Powder, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry and I need something to eat because I'm having this shocked energy. So now I'm like fueled up and ready to go, but I feel like I need a little something else in my stomach. Can you suggest a place?
Yeah, I have actually one of the best places to suggest.
Tell me more.
Yeah, Legends Lingo is graciously brought to you by A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen Bar is located in Boston, right on Causeway Street, right across the street from the TD Garden. So if you're going to a Celtics game or a Bruins game, they're back, and you want something quick to eat before the game, why don't you go A&B Kitchen and Bar? It takes a traditional New England pub menu and elevates it with freshly made in-house dishes like chicken pot pie, meatloaf with organically raised beef from Neiman Ranch, locally caught fish and chips, and draft beers that pair perfectly as well, like breweries like Gentle Brewery in Beverly and Lord Hobo in Notch. Looking for a patio dining experience, A&B in Kitchen has a raised patio with spectacular views of the TD Garden and the Zakim Bridge. With heaters for now, it's starting to get fall again. In winter, when it starts getting colder, they have heaters so you can eat outside for longer. And if you want to be inside by the outside field, they have 32 feet of open garage doors along Causeway Street and 16 feet of garage doors along Beverly Street. So you can have the open air dining experience without the elements. Don't have tickets to a game, but you still want to watch it. They have 9 70-inch TVs all around the restaurant, so there's no bad seat in the house. They're open Monday through Sunday at 3 p.m., but if there's a day game at the Garden, they open at 11 a.m.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Burgers. Shout out to our friend Tom Holland.
Yeah.
You know, he's the man. Love that guy. Be on the lookout for something from A&B Burgers coming very, very soon. It's the holiday season. Yep. We're feeling in the giving mood, so we got something that's going to be going down. So stay tuned in the upcoming weeks for that. So we're just going to do this really quick. Patriots are playing the Jets this week. It's at home in Foxborough. Patriots took care of business week two against the Jets. I think it was like a 25-6 win, something like that. Sound about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is going to be quick. I mean, yeah, the Jets, I don't even know how to really describe the Jets because they're the Jets. J-E-T-S, yeah. Suck, suck, suck. Like that's what it is. You know, I mean, what else can we call it here? I mean, I'm not saying this is going to be a blowout because it's the Patriots and they don't blow teams out anymore. Like it is what it is. But I think the Patriots do take care of business. They're 0-4 at home, which hasn't happened since 93. And that's the first year the Patriots had Drew Bledsoe after they drafted him number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the home losing streak ends. I think it's going to be a 24-14 Patriots victory. I think they're going to come back, play better defense because that's secondary and those linebackers, man, they look rough right now. But 24-14 Patriots win. Powder, give me a score prediction.
I'm going to say 21-10. I don't think there's any automatic wins this year for the Patriots because they're learning, they're growing, everything we've talked about before, but I do think they'll beat the Jets. I think Jets aren't good enough to beat them at this point.
Okay, Maddie?
I got them winning 17-10. Pretty lackluster game. I think with the Jets coming out of the bye, they're a little bit more sharp than people would expect, but it's still not going to be enough because the Patriots are rebuilding. The Jets are they're rebuilding, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So, okay. So we have the Patriots winning the game. Hopefully they come away with a win, get to 3-4. And then you got a tough test the following week in LA against the Chargers. So Justin Herbert's looked pretty good this year. So that one could be a long game. So got to take care of business on Sunday. Let's get into the Red Sox. Yeah, it's going to be that. Yeah, just bear with us, people. So the Boston Red Sox. So last time that we had a recording, I believe with the three of us, it was when the Red Sox were taking on the Yankees in the wild card game.
Yeah.
So last week, Maddie Burnett and myself talked about the ALDS, Red Sox, everything clicked for them. You know, Nick Pivetta was amazing. Kike Hernandez was amazing. Now you take on the Houston Astros and we'll give you the quick update of it. So game one, Red Sox lose a tough game, 5-4, probably a game that they could have won, but it is what it is. Game two, the bats come alive. Red Sox take game two, 14-6. They go back to Boston with a split. 1-1 series is tied. Game three, the bats continue to stay hot. 12-3 win. Red Sox hit, I think it was Kyle Schwarber hit a grand slam. JD Martinez had a home run. Rafael Devers had a home run. They win that game 12-3. Game four, Red Sox lose 9-2, but it was 2-1 going into the eighth inning. Red Sox leading and 2-2 in the ninth. And that's where we're going to talk about the big things that happened first. Game five, Red Sox lose 9-1. And as we are recording on Thursday, October 21st, the Red Sox are down 3-2 in the American League Championship Series to the Houston Astros. So I want to go back to that game four for a second. And I'm going to ask you guys this question. Top of the ninth, 1-2 count on Jason Castro. Nathan Eovaldi's on the mound now to try to get you to the bottom of the ninth. Pretty sure it was a cutter or slider. I forget exactly what the pitch was. It catches the outside corner. Laz Diaz, who was one of the worst umpires in Major League Baseball, might I add, calls it a ball.
Yeah.
Sure enough, Jason Castro gets a base hit, and then all the tires fell. Everything snowballed. did that one call change the momentum in the series? Yes or no?
Of course. It absolutely did.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
I mean, it was a strike. It was a blatant strike. It was called the ball, and everything changed after that. Now, where it gets kind of nuanced and a little bit kind of kooky here, I'll just be quick, is it's the reason why they lost the game, but it was not the reason they didn't win, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. No, that does. That does. That was, to sort of dissect what Maddie said for anybody that doesn't understand, it's basically – yeah, they lost the game on that call, but they had plenty of other opportunities to win that baseball game beforehand.
Definitely.
I mean, you were 0 for 9 or 0 for 11. It was one of those two.
I think it was 9.
9. 0 for 9 with runners in scoring position. You literally, I think it was the fifth inning, you had Christian Arroyo hit a one-out triple, and then you had the top of the lineup coming up in Kyle Schwarber and Kike Hernandez, and you couldn't get him in.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I'm not even kidding you guys, I said to myself, they're in trouble because they knocked Zach Greinke out of the game. He only recorded 4 outs, and they couldn't hit that Astros bullpen. And I said to myself, this isn't good. Like, they should be teeing off on this bullpen, especially with all the work they've had to do the past 2-3 days between games 2 and 3. It wasn't a good sign. Mm-mm. So here's the thing. So game 4 happens, they lose. Fast forward a day. Game 5. And I went off on this on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw my tweet, but it was in all capital letters. Maddie, I think you might have liked it.
I saw it.
Actually, Powder, yeah, I was going to say Powder. You saw it too. I think you saw it the next day. But
yeah,
1-0, top of the 6th inning, 2 outs. Yordan Alvarez comes up. First base is open. Yordan Alvarez in this game already. Hit a home run and hit a single off the wall. The only guy that was giving Chris Sale any trouble the whole game. You have Carlos Correa on deck who struck out twice in the game so far and hasn't even looked competitive against Chris Sale. What does Cora do? Says to Sale, okay, go get him. Alvarez comes through. Basically ended the game on that swing. I don't care what anybody says. That game was over at 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Cora, I love you, but what are you doing? Like, that is baseball 101. Powder, you're a coach and a big baseball guy. Maddie, you played baseball in college. We're all baseball guys. Is it crazy to me to think that Alvarez should have walked?
Give this.
Literally, put up 4 fingers. Watch, we can do it. Look at this. I'm doing it twice. 2 hands. Maddie's doing it with 2 hands. Like, I don't understand what was the thought process there. And earlier in the game, and I know this is going to sound like Monday morning quarterback, you know, pardon me for making a football reference during a baseball segment, but you're down 1-0. You have 2nd and 1st, no outs, Hunter Renfro up, who has struggled to swing the bat. Why do you not call a bunt there? Yeah. Call a bunt for a guy that's struggling. Regular season Hunter Renfro, I'm letting him swing the bat all day long. Green light him. Go for it. Maybe he gets you a double off the wall or a home run. You're up 3-1. But in the playoffs, he's like 1-for-20. He's had a bad, especially in the ALCS, he's had a bad ALCS.
Yes.
After the RBI double in game 1, I don't think he's gotten a hit since. And he's looked bad. So again, why is it that like the 3 of us can think of this stuff, but Alex Cora can't? Like,
it's crazy too, because Alex Cora is usually so good at this, right?
Yeah.
He's been so dynamite at you know, hand-picking the guys and kind of picking and choosing and putting it together for these games. And just to leave him out there when Yordan went the opposite way twice. So he's seeing the ball well. If you're a lefty on a lefty and you take 2 balls the opposite way and hit him that hard, you're dialed in. Yes. It means he can cover everywhere on the plate. And if you want to let Sale be the bulldog that he is and you're like, listen, Sale, go get him. You throw 4 non-competitive pitches and hope he swings at 2 and then you go from there. You don't just go right after him like that. It was just a bad approach on a bad decision, and they paid for it.
Terrible decision. It could be a series clinching decision against you.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with you guys. Just while I was watching, I was just like, why not walk him or, like Maddie said, pitch around him and make him chase stuff? Because you, like Al said too, he was the one guy doing damage. And just don't let him beat you. If you see one guy's hot, you don't let him beat you. You let someone else try and beat you. And and who it's – is it Correa who it's after him or before him?
It was Carlos Correa right after. Because Alvarez
and he was
0
for 2, two strikeouts in the game against Sale.
Yep.
There's been
– Oh, our very first when the hosts aren't listening.
No.
Al just said that. He's
my bad.
Louder. No, you're fine. You're fine. Go ahead. You're fine.
Yeah. Happens all the time.
Yeah. But that's why you don't pitch to him.
No.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you.
But you're right. And that's the thing is, like, again, we know this, and we're coaching, like, little kids and, like, high schoolers and stuff. This is the major leagues. Like, I don't understand. And one other thing that drove me crazy. Game 4, when you were down 3-2, so after Eovaldi comes out, you bring in Martin Perez.
I know.
What are you thinking? At that point, I would have rather had Sale pitch to the one batter and say, here's your prep for tomorrow. Like, why is Martin Perez in a competitive game? Why is Hirokazu Sawamura in a competitive game? Like, why are we bringing these pitchers out? It's not that hard. If you can get 4 or 5 innings out of your guys, and I'm not saying this is like foolproof, but this is the best scenario. Bring Tanner Houck in for 2 innings and then bring Garrett Whitlock in for 2 innings.
Yeah.
That should be your plan going forward. Use those 2 guys when you need to win a game. Simple. Like,
yeah,
I don't
they
care.
Have not used Houck like at all this series. He's pitched what, an inning or 2 innings?
They used him, I think it was game 1, and then I think that's it.
Yeah. I know he gave up 2 runs in that outing, but still, like, they didn't have him yet to go back to him. It's weird. And Powder, real quick, I know you're the baseball coach. I want to ask you this before we move on. If with that with Sale and Alvarez, you put Alvarez on, do you let Sale face Correa is my question. 0 for 2, like you said, 2 strikeouts. Do you let lefty go against righty, or do you make the swap after that?
I think at that point I probably make a swap too, just because I want a fresh look. Because even though he's 0 for 2, 2 strikeouts, I still think getting him a different look is better than having face a pitcher for the third time. And I'm someone who even young kids, I ride kids third time through a lineup if they're looking good. But I just think in that situation, that big of a game, you don't ride a guy that third time.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But see, here's where I'm going to disagree with you guys. Powder, you just said it. If you're riding with the guy and he's good, you ride with him. 2 outs, top of the 6th inning, Sales had about 83 pitches. That could be his last start of the season.
Yeah.
So if you're going to ride with him, If Correa was putting up good at-bats against Sale, I'd be like, okay, fine. Get the righty in there. That's fine. But the way that Correa was looking, it was non-competitive at the plate. Like, he just took Chris Sale sliders in the outside corner, just strike 3, smell you later, time for you to sit down. Like, that's the only reason that I would have kept Sale in for that situation. And by the way, the people that said that Game 5 loss was on Chris Sale, get out of here.
No.
That's the dumbest take you can come up with. He went almost 6 innings and gave up 3 runs. Even if he gave up 1 run, it's still on the offense.
Oh, yeah. They're not hitting at all.
Do you guys know how many runs they've gotten since game 3?
3, right?
3 runs in 18 innings. And they went 13 innings without, like, or I shouldn't say 13 innings. They went about 15 innings without scoring a run. Like, they scored a run. Xander Bogaerts had a 2-run home run in game 4 of the ALCS in the first inning, didn't score the rest of that game. And then you didn't score until the 7th inning of game 5, the Rafael Devers home run. This offense has gone ice cold. Like, you knew the thing is, you knew it was coming. Kike Hernandez was going to come down to earth. Rafael Devers was going to come down from earth. JD Martinez was going to come down from earth. Kyle Schwarber is going to come down to earth. And I'm going to say something, and you guys might chastise me for it, but I'm not sorry in advance. The Astros are better. They're a better baseball team. They have a better bullpen. I don't know about the starters. I still like the Red Sox starters, but the Astros, and credit to my father, smart baseball man, the Astros are professionals. They know how to handle the situation in the moment.
Yeah, they've been there.
And Dusty Baker, there's a reason why he's, 70, whatever years old, and he's still a great manager. He rode with his, he was very smart with his bullpen, and then he let Valdez ride. Mm-hmm. He was a very confident guy, and there are a couple of situations where the game could have, Red Sox could have had like the 100 run for a bat. But the whole game, I kept hearing the announcers, no one's warming up. No one's warming up. So mm-hmm. Dusty Baker, that puts a lot of confidence in your starter. If he looks to the bullpen and he sees no one, he's like, my manager has trust in me.
100%. And before we get into the last part of the show, I need a little bit of a massage. I need to relax a little bit.
I know, I'm so tense. I could use one too.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for that.
Saw some pitchers in bullpen using one of these during the game.
Oh, you're talking one of these bad boys?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. Legends Lingo Podcast. Legends Lingo Podcast is sponsored by Shocked Energy, A&B Burgers, and the Legends Lingo Podcast is brought to you by our friends over at ExoGun. Have you ever done a workout and feel like you need a massage right after? We'll get the massage without having to leave your house. Put your muscles away. Don't let pain and soreness slow you down anymore. ExoGun revives muscle, or whatever that is Powder was trying to do, boosts circulation, and releases energy so you can recover faster.
I did do arms today. Better. So.
Oh, put them away. It's portable, adjustable, and powerful. ExoGun is trusted by the pros to deliver the ultimate in recovery experience. Gain back control of your body and achieve long-term pain relief with ExoGun today. Get 10% off with the code CGS10 at checkout. ExoGun comes with a charger and a carrying case. Go get your ExoGun today. Treat yourself to a massage at a moment's notice. Also, Halloween special coming up. Get 15% off if you want to with the code Halloween15 at checkout. A little something for the spooky season. I don't know what's spookier, that or Powder's arms right there. I don't know which one was spookier, but either way. Shout out to our friends. I love you, Powder.
I love you too.
Shout out to our friends at ExoGun, another Couch Guys Sports site-wide sponsor. Very appreciative of that. All right, to kind of wrap up everything and wrap up our Red Sox conversation, our episode for the week. 3-2 Astros. Friday night, you're sending Nathan Eovaldi to the mound against Luis Garcia, the rookie in game two, who got injured, I'm putting it in air quotes. And then in game seven, you got Eddie Rodriguez against, I don't even know who.
Their entire team.
Okay, so the entire bullpen. So yeah. I really hate our chances in that one. But anyways, now that it's five games in, Matt Burnett said Red Sox in six. That can't happen. I said Red Sox in seven. That still can happen. What do you guys think happens for the remainder of this series?
With all my heart and soul, I want to say Sox in seven, but I think they lose Friday night. I think Astros win game six.
Okay. Powder?
It's tough. I just think that game four, everything just – they could have broke that game open multiple times and – give themselves the chance to be up 3-1. And I think that swing just absolutely killed them. But before I get all pessimistic, if you told me when we were recording back in March and April that the Red Sox would be two games away from the World Series, I don't think I would have believed you. Like, I think we're all pretty optimistic, but I think we were like, maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they're a wild card team, which they were, but we did not think they'd be in this position right now.
Oh, you guys were more optimistic than I was. I said they were going to be lucky to be over 500. So yeah. They exceeded my expectations.
I think I put them in the World Series, to be honest.
You probably did.
Yeah. But seeing how they are right now and the position they're in, it's like anything when your team all of a sudden makes a run that you didn't think they would. You want them to get there. And I think if they can somehow get Garcia out early – and really tax a bullpen, like if he only goes an inning plus, I think they have a chance to win game seven if they don't really have any starters left. But I think it all comes down to game six, what they can do. If their bats come alive and we see another big game like game three where they won 12-3, I think maybe they have a chance because they'll tax that bullpen and make it harder on the Astros for game seven. But I still think it's tough. I think the Astros pull it off. I think Red Sox might force a game seven, but I don't think they win two straight in Houston.
So before I give my prediction, I'm going to tell a small, funny story. So I was teaching sixth grade math today, and one of the kids in my class goes, Mr. Nahigia, do you think the Red Sox will win? I just looked him flat in the face. I said, no, they're not going to win. And then he looks at me. He's like, oh, you're an Astros fan now? And I'm just like, no, not an Astros fan. I just know they're not going to win. He's like, you have no confidence. And I'm going to say, you're right, little man. I don't have confidence in this team. Because guess what? Kike Hernandez has come back down to earth. Hunter Renfroe looks like a little leaguer at the plate. So you know what? And guess what, too? In a start in the postseason, for the last couple of years that they've been in the postseason, Nathan Eovaldi is due for a bad start. I hate to say it, but he is. He's due for a bad start. He's pitched so well in the 18 postseason. He's pitched great in the 2021 postseason as a starter. But I think this is the time where Houston's at home. They got all the momentum. They don't want to force a winner-take-all game seven. I think they're going to come rocking at Minute Maid Park. And I think I think Houston's going to take care of business in game six. I really do. Like, but credit to if that's the case, credit to the Red Sox for making it to game six of the ALCS when people didn't even think they'd make the playoffs.
And they proved they're better than the Rays. And I like that.
Yeah.
I'll find some peace in that. But I will play a little devil's advocate because the fan in me just can't go without a fight. Like, if anyone's going to do it, it's Eovaldi, man. He's such a bulldog. He could pull it out, but what I fear about this, and this was my biggest fear going into game five, was if Valdez gave them what he did, they now have so many weapons to use in game six and seven. Because all those guys who got lit up, Urquidy, Greinke, Garcia, Odorizzi, they can all give you innings, and they're not as bad as those outings would suggest.
Yeah.
They're good arms. So if they're ready and they're sharp that night, they could give you 2 1/3. The Sox are going to have to dig and dig deep to make this comeback. But, I mean, historically, I will say, the ALCS has been the roller coaster ride for the Red Sox in their World Series runs. Down 0-3 to the Yankees. Down 3-1 to the Indians, or the Cleveland baseball team, as they're going to be known. Oh, Cleveland Guardians or whatever. The ALCS has been the adventure series for them to continue to move on. The Tigers game. I mean, those were wild games.
They shouldn't have even beat the Tigers that year. The Tigers were loaded that year.
They were loaded. And so if I wouldn't suggest that there's zero chance that they win, even though I don't think it's going to happen. Momentum seems to be so strongly in Houston's favor. But it would be Red Sox. It would be pretty Red Sox for them to dig out too, which I guess is what we're all hoping for, but we're not really optimistic about.
Ah, this Red Sox team. McLovin. Yeah, you got to love it. You got to love it. You got to cherish it. You do. If you get that reference, you're a real one.
You're a real one.
If you get it. But anyways, that's where we're going to leave it off for the week. Again, check out everything, couchguysports.com. Shout out to our sponsors, A&B Burgers, Exo Gun, Shocked Energy. Maddie's got the sweatshirt in the background. We got it all covered. Potter's doing the three thing, I think, with the three sponsors. I love that. That's great. It's good to have the three amigos back together.
Yes, it feels so good, doesn't it?
It really does. Rate, review, subscribe, Legends Lingo Podcast on all the platforms. You heard it at the beginning. Be on the lookout for a giveaway that's going to be coming very, very soon, within the next couple of weeks. So be listening for that. If nothing else, for episode 143, we got Tom Powder Cadmus. We got Maddie Kiwoom. I'm your host, Alan Nahigian. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 144.
Yes, sir.